Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We always take just a moment and invite you out to Mount Lebanon if you are in the listening area. We are just outside of Boone, North Carolina. If you follow Highway 105 South till you come to Baird's Creek Road, we are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We have our Sunday morning worship services at 10 a.m., our Sunday morning preaching at 11 a.m., and we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. We also have archived radio messages, Sunday morning sermons, Wednesday night Bible study. All of that is available on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. And so we wanted to mention that. I want to say hello to Noah today. Hope he's having a good day, and he always welcomes our listeners.
I am. Do want to say welcome to all those listening in. We do appreciate our listeners. Those who hear us here on AM 1450, WATA, and 96.5 FM out of Boone, North Carolina. Our listeners on AM 690, WZAP, out of Bristol, Virginia. And those on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And this week, we are going to start something just a little bit different. We're going to call this our Summer Break series, and this is something that we have done before a couple of years ago. I think a lot of people got something out of it, but we're going to bring a series. It's called Your Liberty, Your Health, and the Bible. And I know during the summer a lot of people are traveling, they're on vacation. We also have a lot going on. We're going to recharge our batteries and hope you get a blessing out of this. And as I said, we taught on this a couple of years ago here on Blessings of Liberty. We're just going to jump right back into it today, and I hope you'll get something good out of it. But we're going to move on this week. We've got a new series, and I'm excited about this. This is something that is very near to my heart and that I'm interested in. And I want to begin a series today, and I'm going to call it Your Liberty, Your Health, and the Bible. And my proposition on this is if you lose your health, you've lost your liberty. And it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, how knowledgeable you may be, how important you are, how busy you are, what else you may be involved in and think that the world cannot go on without you. If sickness comes along your way, you become a captive to that sickness. And you may, depending upon how severe it is, you may become dependent upon somebody else to take care of you. There are many things that go on in the world that we're concerned about and we could talk about here on the Blessings of Liberty that pertain to our liberty and the Bible. But there's, of all these things, most of them we are powerless to do anything about. But our health, on the other hand, is one thing that we do have some control over, and we can be a good steward of it. We can take care of it as much as possible, or if we're a bad steward, we neglect our health. And when we neglect our health, we will reap the consequences of that. I want to begin today with a Bible verse, and the Bible has a great deal to say about our health and what it takes in order to be healthy and what the Lord has provided for us in order to be healthy. So I hope this will be interesting to you. Here it is. I would call it the middle of winter. We have a few warm, sunny days here and there, but we've still got a long ways to go. So maybe to carry us out through the rest of the winter, we're going to look at our health in anticipation of spring and pretty days and warmer days and all those good things we look forward to. But now would be a good time to focus on and to think about some things concerning our health. And I want to begin with the book of 3 John. Now, there's only one chapter in 3 John. I'm going to read the second verse.
John said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." The Apostle John, he's an old man by now, and he's writing a letter to his friend, who he calls the well-beloved Gaius, and he wishes for him above all things that he would be in health, that he would have good health. And I also want to point out that there is a connection that the Apostle John makes between the physical and the spiritual. And I do believe there's more of a connection there than most people realize. And he says that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And so your physical and your spiritual are tied together. We will see that as this study progresses. I read somewhere one time, and I cannot remember where I read it, but I remembered it. I don't know who said it. I think it was a writer many years ago, the 1800s. I want to say maybe it was Spurgeon that said this, or somewhere around in that time period. But they made the statement, it's hard to praise God with a toothache. Have you ever thought about that? Now, if you feel good, you're healthy, and your mind is not burdened down with a lot of worry and care, you know, it's easy to praise God. It's easy to say, boy, the sun's shining today, and it's a pretty day, and, you know, it's easy if everything's going well. But you get sick, and a toothache is one of the most painful things I can think of. But if you have a pain like that, boy, it's hard to praise God with a toothache. And you could apply that across the board to other sicknesses and ailments that we may have. But how true that is. Now, doesn't matter how spiritual you are or how great your desire to do something for God or to be active in your work, in your family, in your church, whatever the case may be, when we are sick, it automatically puts you on the sideline. I mean, you can be going along and you're working, you're going, you're involved, you got family, you got children, you got responsibilities, but you get sick and all of a sudden all of that stops, and you are, if you were on a sports team, you're in the game, well, all of a sudden you're out of the game. You're over there on the bench, you're over there with the trainer, and you're not able to carry on your responsibilities, the things that you were doing previously. Now, sickness, I'm going to begin by saying this, can be divided into two different categories. We can say that sickness can be put into the avoidable category, and it can be put into the unavoidable category. Now, the Bible says this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so in the Bible, we find something referred to as God's law of sowing and reaping. And sowing and reaping is a universal law of nature. In the Bible here, we find if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It applies in the physical realm. It applies in the spiritual realm. If you plant corn, you will reap corn. That's God's law of sowing and reaping. If you sow grass seed in the spring, grass will come up. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. And I believe in America, especially at this day and time in which we live, Americans are probably sicker across the board than they have ever been at any other time in our history. Every time, just for example, churches come together and maybe give out prayer requests, we hear this all the time, more and more. We never come together that we don't hear about, pray for this person. They've got cancer. Pray for this person. They've got a heart attack. They've got what's it called, where they go and have to clean your veins out. You know, there's something all the time. Not only that, diabetes, breathing problems, children, little children more. When I was growing up, never were my generation as sick as today's generation. Oh, I mean, every once in a while, somebody'd get sick, and you know, the cold came and the flu came and things like that. But I'm talking about continuous major problems that even young people have that years ago they did not have. Years ago, a few people had allergies. I'm talking about 30 years ago, 35 years ago. Now seems like everybody, something's wrong with you if you don't have allergies. It would be odd not to be affected. Allergies, breathing problems, things along these lines. I heard, and here's another example that you hear talked about on the news all the time. In America, obesity is becoming an epidemic. That's being well overweight, not just a little overweight, but bad overweight. And you have that as a problem, and it's affected our children, middle age, the elderly. I heard a news broadcast, and I didn't get who it was from, but I remember what they were talking about, and they were reporting, and they were saying if something does not change in a few years, that hospitals in America will be consumed with caring for heart patients and diabetics, people that have diabetes. And they said in that news story that they thought it might have something to do with our diet. Well, that is obvious that in America, we eat differently than they do in other countries. And I was in the Air Force, and I lived in the country of England from 1987 to 1991, 3 years. And it is obvious if you go to any other country in the world that people are different than they are in America. You can come to America or you can go overseas and you can pick out an American. What I'm saying, when I lived in England, you rarely saw an extremely overweight person. But you come to America and it is common to find people in this shape. And so in America, we're sicker than we ever have been before, and it is affecting us in a very bad way. Most of those that are sick, and I don't know, using the word most there, but I will say it like this. A lot of people who are sick do not have to be. It is simply a result of reaping what we have sown. So there, pardon me, when we come to, and of course talking about your health, you know, I'm coughing while I'm doing it. But, and I have had a cold, I'll be honest, last week. And, but anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked by that. But there is that which is avoidable. We reap what we sow. And a lot of our sickness, we're just reaping what we've sown. Now, there is also, and we realize this, there is sickness that is unavoidable. And that could come to any of us at any time. In John chapter 11, verse number 4, I'm going to read a verse over there. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And he's talking about his friend Lazarus. And the disciples and the Lord Jesus, they were away, and they received news that Lazarus is sick. Not only was Lazarus sick, but Lazarus also died. Now, Lazarus may have been the picture of perfect health. We do not know. The Bible does not say. But what the Bible tells us is that Lazarus got sick and he died. And this is something that is going to happen to all of us if time goes on, is that we are going to eventually die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So we are all going to die. We do not know when our appointment is. Nobody knows when they're going to die. I'm 45 years old. I may die tomorrow. I may die I may live till I'm 60. I may live till I'm 70. I may live till I'm 80 years old. I may live till I'm 90 or 95, or, you know, we just do not know. And there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do to change. We don't know when it's going to come. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now, if my appointment to die is 25, 30 years down the road, 20 years, 10 years down the road, whatever it is, if I can help it, now that's a big if I can help it, I do not want to spend the last 10, 15, 20 years of my life in the doctor's office, running to the doctor all the time, if I can avoid it. What I have in the remainder of my life, I want it to be quality. And I've said this many times, I want to live as long as I can live, and then I want to die. I don't want to live sick all the days of my life. Now, we might can have some control over that. If we can, I want to. How do we do that? By being a good steward over our health. Many people are not being good stewards over the health that God has given unto them. Now, this is very interesting to me, and I've got just a few minutes left. But in the first few chapters of the Bible, in fact, in the first three chapters of the Bible, specifically the first two chapters of the Bible, we find there everything that we need in order to enjoy good health. And I'm going to give you these things quickly today, and then I'm going to take in the weeks following, I'm going to take each of these one by one and talk about them individually. But I want to just quickly, in the next 10 minutes or so, give you these seven things that we must have in order to enjoy good health. Now, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." Seven is a great number in the Bible. It is God's perfect number. Seven is found in Genesis chapter number 1. Not seven, but the word good is found seven times in Genesis chapter number 1. Each time it is talking about what God says is good. And it's amazing, you go through the Bible and start studying these things out. I'm going to read just one of them. Verse number 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And there's seven things in these first couple of chapters that we have to have in order to have good health. We don't have to go to a scientist to find these things. We don't have to go to John Hopkins to find these things out. We can just go to the Bible. And this is amazing to me. Number one, I'm going to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We need pure air in order to live. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Every time I read that, I get the image in my mind of a lifeguard that goes down, and here's somebody they've drug out of the water, and the lifeguard gives CPR and brings the person back to life, we might say, back to where they can breathe. That word "breathed" there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it means literally to puff, to inflate. And so there lays Adam on the ground, and he looks like a man in every respect, except he's not breathing. And the Bible says that God came and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God inflated him, puffed him up, and man became a living soul. And this is what gave Adam life. Without breath, without air, Adam was lifeless physically. And it is interesting that this is also what gives us life spiritually speaking. John chapter number 3 and verses 5 through 8, it talks about Jesus said to Nicodemus that you must be born again, and the Spirit moves as it wishes, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's the Spirit of God that moves on a person spiritually and gives them a new life in Christ. And it is air that we have to have in order to live. Man can survive without food at least 40 days. Many people have survived fasting 40 days or more without food. You can survive several days without water, but you can only survive a few minutes without air. And the air we breathe is very, very important to our health. That is number one. Number two has to deal with our food. You have to have good food in order to be healthy. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's interesting that God put Adam and Eve in a garden. Now, we're going to talk later on about our diet and, you know, should you be a vegetarian? Should you eat meat? Should you eat some meat, not other? We'll see what the Bible says about that. But man's original diet, God put Adam and Eve in a garden, and they were vegetarians. They only ate what grew out of that garden, what grew out of the ground. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And it was pleasant food. It was food that was good for you. God did not put McDonald's in the Garden of Eden, and there was no Krispy Kreme there. There was no, later on when their children came along, there was no fruit, there was no gummy bears and candy that looks like worms. And you just think about it a little bit. How much of what we put into our mouths is not even really food? It didn't grow. It's never had any life about it. It's created in a laboratory and not in a kitchen. And it's made out of things that you cannot even pronounce. It's no wonder that so many people are suffering in their health in so many ways. There's a lot of things we put into our body that are not good for us. They're not good food. Well, you got to have air. You got to have food. Number three, got to move on. You got to have water. Verse number 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. You and I have to have water. And let me say right here, soft drinks are one of the worst things. You talk about being a bad steward. I mean, I would never put anything in my vehicles except what was prescribed for them. I'm going to put gas in them. I'm not going to put kerosene in them. Something just to try and see if it might work. I'm going to put what it calls for. And God calls for us to have water. But we put a lot of things in our body that are actually destructive to us. And soft drinks are one of the worst things that you can do for your health. And it amazes me as a pastor to go down to the hospital to visit somebody that is terribly sick, and there's always soft drinks that are provided. There'll always be a tray full. Or somebody will come in and say, can I bring you something to drink? Do you want a, Coca-Cola? Do you want a Pepsi? Do you want a Sprite? Do you want something like that? A can of soda will have from 10 to 20 teaspoons. You think about that, teaspoons of sugar. If there's anything that will kill your immune system any quicker than a high dose of sugar, I don't know what it is, but soft drinks are killing us. They're contributor to diabetes, to obesity, on and on we could go. And it's just amazing to me. God said that, or the first thing the Lord provided for them to drink was water. And so you got to have water. We'll come back to that. And I will say this. Christ is a type of water, and he refers to himself as the living water in John chapter number 4. So there's a lot of spiritual applications here as well. Now, the fourth thing that everything has to have in order to grow and be healthy is sunshine. And on the fourth day of creation, God made the sunshine. Genesis chapter 1, actually verses 14 through 19. We do not have time to read all that, but verse 16 said, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." You have to have sunshine. You have to have something called vitamin D, and it only comes from the sunshine, and you get it. It comes through your skin and through your eyeballs, and God made us to get out in the sunshine and to get some vitamin D. I know a lot of the northwestern states, many in the northern hemisphere where there's very little sunshine during the winter months, they suffer from what they call SAD, which is called seasonal affective disorder, which is just simply not getting enough sunshine. And so you got to have vitamin D. You got to have sunshine in order to be healthy. Well, God also intended for us to have exercise. We've got to hurry along here. I'm just going to mention these. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." What was Adam and Eve going to do all the time? They were going to take care of that garden. They were going to work in that garden. And to dress means to work, and to keep it means to guard it. And even in a perfect environment where there was no sin, you think about this, God had work, God had exercise for Adam and Eve to do. So they had to have exercise, and that's very important to our health. Number 6, God intended for man to have some rest. Now, one thing that is killing people, they have no rest. There's no stop. They're going, going, going all the time. This is very detrimental to our health. And God, before sin ever entered into the world, he instituted a day of rest, which in the Old Testament is called the Sabbath day. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I'm just going to read verse 3. "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So you got to have rest. That was even before the curse. And then there's faith. Genesis 2 and 7, "Man became a living soul." We are creatures. Yes, we are physical, but we are also spiritual creatures. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You got to have that spiritual part of your life in order. And if not, your whole life is out of balance. These are the 7 things you got to have in order to have good health. Most people's problems, even physical problems, have a spiritual root to them. Well, our time is quickly coming gone. John said, "Beloved, I wish you'd be in health." And so you tune in the coming weeks. Noah's going to come, give contact information. Thanks for listening.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.